B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
J.J. Watt is a rather prominent NFL player. Big name, very successful career, face of a franchise, you could say, right along with his quarterback, Deshaun Watson. And J.J. Watt has a number of issues with the NFL. Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beadle, Hardy, Glasheen with you. Here's what J.J. Watt's, one of his issues is. You'll hear from J.J. Watt in a moment. He says he is not willing to play and has no interest in being out on the field if a full face shield is required, because he determined long ago that he has no interest in wearing half of a face shield. Quote, my second year in the league, I thought it'd be cool. I put a visor on my helmet, and I was like, it looks so cool, I want to put a visor on. I had it on for about three periods of practice, and I said, take this sucker off, I'm going to die out here. So now you're going to put something around my mouth? You can keep that. If that comes into play, I don't think you're going to see me on the field. More on that in a moment, but here's more from J.J. Watt on some other issues that he has with the NFL right now as well.
I think that every guy's situation is different. There could be a guy who has a child with asthma that really just doesn't want to bring it back home, or you have a pregnant wife. And I think that the one thing that I would say to that is there shouldn't be a stigma if you do choose to opt out. If there is a legitimate reason for you to be opting out and you don't feel comfortable, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, you're making the best decision for yourself and for your family. And if we ever get to the point where we're shaming people for dropping out of a sport because they want to protect the health of their family, then we're in a tough spot. The last thing that we want as players is for this report date to be set in stone and for us to be bumping up against this report date, and then we hastily put things together just because we want to make sure that that report date is met. I think the most important thing for us is getting everything right so that everybody feels as safe as possible, as comfortable as possible with what we're going to do, whether that is on the report date, whether that's push back, whatever it may be. But I just don't want us to get into a situation where we bump up to this report date and we say, oh no, now we got to figure it out. That's where you get yourself into trouble.
So a couple of things here. His first point that you just heard him make in that video and talking to Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio is an excellent one that the NFLPA is now fighting for. Guys with legitimate medical reasons why they can't be out there and want to opt out, they want to know that teams won't be able to punish them. And as of right now, according to one report, the teams are not exactly being accommodating and could legally, under the CBA, fine guys, and guys could lose their jobs. They could be cut, whatever it might be. There's that. That's one issue that he's got. The second part is about protocols. The players apparently don't feel like there's a good plan in place, which is an issue. But let's go back to the first thing that he said, which is, he won't wear the face shield and he won't wear the visor.
I'd love to say I told you so, and I told you so. These guys aren't going to do it. And I like the fact that J.J. Watt prefaced all this by saying, yeah, I put the eye shield on when I first started, and they started coming into vogue because I thought it looked cool. He's admitting it. You know, it doesn't serve any practical purpose, at least for him. He just thought it looked neat, and I'm gonna give it a whirl. And he said, he had three practice sessions. He's like, get this thing off of here. I can't take it. And now you want to extend that and have it cover the mouth area too? He said, no way. You can keep that. Not for me. And I said this from the start, Beadle. If these guys who are used to having unobstructed breathing, if you put something even 2 inches in front of their mouth, they're not going to like it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to go for it. And I don't blame them. You're out there huffing and puffing, and you're trying to stay on the field, and you've been out there for 10 plays already on defense, and you're sucking wind, and now you got this thing in front of your mouth that's just, even if it's just subconscious, even if it's a mental thing, you know, the air warms up. But we've all worn masks now. We know how it feels different. You know, the air is warmer going in. It seems like you got to push it out. He didn't like it. He's not going to wear it. He's not going to do it. And he's not the only one. I guarantee it.
Right. Because there's no doubt the helmet is going to run hotter because of this, right?
Yes.
That has always been a thing. Here's what I would say. And at the beginning, I said, oh, please, if this is what allows you to play, then just wear it. Let's just do it. If this is the thing that you need to do. But since then, just from, you know, understanding the everything that has gone on anywhere related to the virus, the NFL does not have a good way of stopping the spread anyway. Like the virus is going to spread in so many other ways through the course of the contact they have with each other every single day that this just seems pointless. Well, what's the point of the mask anyway? These guys are with each other all the time. These guys are going to practice together all the time. They're going to be breathing near each other all the time. It's not about just stopping your spit or your coughing or your sneezing. We've learned that it's about just breathing. So this is not, I'm sorry, but they're going to have so much contact outside of when they're wearing the helmets that you're not going to really make any big strides in prevention.
Well, not so fast. No, not so fast there, Beto. They're not going to allow jersey exchanges post game. So not as much.
Which is going to do what?
Not as much contact as you think. They're not going to be going out there for the big jersey exchange, which how often did that happen anyway? Was that happening a lot?
These rosters are massive. These guys are going to have a ton of contact. And then it's like, oh, but when we step out onto the field, put the masks on. Well, I don't know. Like they're gonna have enough contact outside of between the white lines that I don't think that that's gonna make all the difference in the world.
Well, I tell you
I'm all about wearing a mask, but in this situation, I'm not sure it's gonna do much good because of everything else that will happen, including the fact that these massive rosters and coaching rosters are going home every single night and living their lives still. You know, even if they're doing it cautiously, someone is still going to get it. In fact, Bruce Arians said the other day, oh, all the players are going to get sick. It's just a matter of how sick they get.
Yeah, that was crazy when he said that. He said, oh, everyone's going to get sick. But, Beetle, I'll even grant the NFL. Of course I will. Wearing a mask.
What sounds more realistic? What Bruce Arians said, everyone's going to get it, and it's a matter to what degree, or we're going to stop the spread of the virus with these special face masks. Which comment, which thought is more outlandish?
Well, they're both extreme, but I think stopping the spread because of the face mask is a tiny bit more unrealistic.
Yep, it is.
But
I
also don't think everyone is going to get sick, because I think a lot of guys have already had it, whether they know about it or not, and if the antibodies are worth anything, they won't get sick again. So I think that's kind of outlandish, too, to say everyone's going to get sick.
The research that came out on antibodies this week was not good, and I would say in addition to that, if you want to use another sport as an example, Major League Baseball released their final testing numbers today. Of all the guys they tested, their entire league. And this is just another large sample of young athletes in their 20s and early 30s. So I think there might be a comparison there. And, you know, you got a lot of guys who spent their time in Florida and Texas and California, a lot of baseball players from all those places.
Yeah.
Their testing percentage was 1.8. That is coaches and players. They had a 1.8 positive test rate in Major League Baseball.
No, it's not great. It's not what we thought it was going to be. We talked about this is different from the study that they did earlier on, the one that was Stanford was involved with, correct?
Yes. This is just their intake screening that took place.
So
the total number of positive tests was 66. That is 1.8% of the 3,748 samples they took.
Right. So, and going back to the earlier study when they took samples from players, front office, concession workers, whatever, we thought, watch this. We're going to find out that like half of them have the antibodies. No, it was a tiny number. So, look, they're both outlandish statements, but I'll say this. I will even grant the NFL – and just common sense will tell you, okay, wearing a mask is better than not wearing a mask, and it would prevent some spread on the field. My main point in this, Beetle, is they're not going to do it. Those guys are not going to wear face shields when they're playing football. They're just not going to. It's J.J. Watt is the first to come out and say it, but how many of them, once they try it, will say the exact same thing? They're not going to do it. And I don't think they're wrong. You want us to go out there and play? You want us to go out there and actually, you know, put forth our best effort? Can't do it. Why? It's tougher. It's tough to breathe anyway once you're out here doing this. You want to make it tougher for me to breathe? No, I'm not doing it.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get back at it next. More on J.J. Watt, your reaction to NFL players having a lot of hesitation. Maybe that's a reason to push back instead of football reasons. We'll talk about that. We'll get your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Let's go to Bob, who's on the Cape. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Oh, Beetle, I love you guys. You're great. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Hey,
Bob.
Look. Okay, I have COPD, and I have to use oxygen every day of the week. When I have to take it off and go into stores with the mask on, and go run around and do the little tiny things that I can barely do, it really sucks. And I'm sorry for the language, but it is really hard. And J.J. Watt, I'm not a big fan. I don't like him, but he's absolutely right. I watched my son play football when he was a little kid. I'm 60 years old. That little guy ran around like crazy, and it's really hard to breathe to play basketball, football, hockey, whatever you want to do. And he's wearing a mask. It's really hard to do it. So I do not give J.J. Watt any kind of like, hey, dude, I know where you're going. And you wear a mask and you got a little tiny breathing thing wrong with you, it really sucks. And for him to have to run around, like you said, 10 to 12 plays during a game, that really sucks. And you got to be covered up by a mask. You ain't going to make it. You got to pass right out.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Bob.
I disagree with.
It's not
that I don't think is what it is. It's going to be uncomfortable as hell. It's going to suck. It's going to be hot. He's going to sweat. He's going to sweat like crazy. He's going to be very uncomfortable, as will any player, if they do it. But they're not going to pass out and die, okay, out here on the field, Hardy.
No.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's not going to deprive them of oxygen.
No, but they're not going to. But if it is that uncomfortable and... Look, he's telling you right now. You can't argue against it anymore. J.J. Watt, who had already admitted he tried a visor because he thought it would look cool, and then he took it off. Here's a guy who's saying, look, I know I'm a DB. I know I'm always posting my workouts on Instagram. I'll do pretty much anything to look at. And I do think J.J. Watt is a much better guy than I initially gave him credit for. The money that he raised after the thing in Houston, I mean, that's the guy is legit. I'll give him a ton of credit for that. But he's admitting, look, I'm doing things for looks. I would do it even with the visor, it impacted me to the point where I said, get this thing off of here. You put something in front of my mouth and nose where I breathe, I'm not doing it. No, I don't think they're going to die, but is that the only benchmark now? People are going to drop dead. If you're not dropping dead, then you should go do it.
No, that's obviously, that's an exaggeration.
It's going to make it too difficult for them to play, and they're not going to do it. Yes, it is.
They're not
going to
do it because
J.J. Watt just said it. He goes, it's too hard. I'm not doing it.
Okay, but it doesn't matter because here's why. They are shoveling it against the tide if this is what they're doing as their way of preventing the spread of the virus among rosters that are 50-plus players in size, that are coaching staffs that have more than a dozen guys on them, really at a minimum in the NFL. Sorry, this is not what is going to stop anything in this league. And that's why at this point you look at it and say, is anything the NFL is going to do, is it safe? Are they going to do anything in a way that's going to really truly prevent the spread? No. How is it possible? How's it possible in this sport? That's the question.
No, there's too many guys in the locker room, too many guys on the buses, too many guys on the planes. They're all together. They're going to be indoors. They're going to be doing stuff. If it's still spreading rapidly, then they've got other issues. And wearing if they were to cover up on the field,
because
okay,
it's not truly a mask either, Hardy. It's more of a face shield than it is a mask, which are not as effective as an actual mask.
No, but
it's really about creating the illusion and creating the look that you're trying to prevent things when the reality is you're not.
Well,
if there's six guys on the ground in a pileup and they're all breathing on each other, your little visors don't mean anything.
Yeah, you're right.
The
you're
visors
right.
don't mean crap.
You're right.
So
you're right.
There's no point to them.
They might
That's J.J. Watt's best argument against it.
They might help a little bit, but not enough to warrant making them mandatory. And you're absolutely going to have to wear these things. No, If that's the hill that the NFL is willing to die on in terms of safety protocol, then those guys aren't going to play. They're not going to.
I mean, I'd love to see what the locker room situation is going to be at NFL facilities in 2 weeks. What does that look like?
You don't think they're going to be able to socially distance 53 guys 6 feet? Forget about 53 before camp, 100.
Yeah, 90. You got 90 guys hanging around. You think you're going to be able to keep them all separated?
Yeah, 6 feet apart for the entire duration of a training camp in the locker room multiple times a day, working out, weight room, practices. No.
Look at Tom Brady down in Florida, bringing out defensive backs. There were at least 15 guys there.
Right. I mean, this sport does not have a way of keeping everybody away from each other safely, so to speak.
Yeah.
They just don't have a way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so, J.J. Watt, his best argument would be there's so much risk being taken here that mask is not going to make any small, significant difference. So what are we doing? Why are we going to make it more uncomfortable for us if we already know the risk that's involved in doing it?
But
it's just whether it's that's going to put a dent in it.
No,
that's all.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's his point. He's not grandstanding about it. He's saying, just me personally, I hate that thing, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and that's again added to the list of things they haven't agreed to in the NFL: safety protocols, money, preseason games. Put it on the list of all the things that are not resolved in the league.
But they got the draft done. How could they not have a season? They were able to do the draft.
But the Zoom call worked back in April. So, forward we go, is what they're saying. Let's do it. We showed the world.
Don't do that. Come on.
Why? Why can't I do that?
Because you don't have to face him again for like 2 more weeks. I got to work with him next week. Don't do that.
People lose their minds. I'm sorry.
Or as you call it, crime. Evil. What if Western Pennsylvania?
I was going to say, any update on Western PA high school football yet?
But that mentioned in one of the stories along with, is Western PA suffering an outbreak right now? Are they a hot spot for COVID? I didn't think so. But someone mentioned Western Pennsylvania as another, high school football, powerhouse region of the country, which... We know that it is, but
yeah,
I didn't know they were
Monongahela Valley. I mean, yes.
I didn't know if they were suffering any kind of a surge right now. I'm sure you probably have a real time map.
Well,
pulled
I just,
up on
I
one
just
of
pulled
your
up
monitors.
The Johns Hopkins map. I was going to take a look right now.
COVID beetle, here he comes.
Yeah, I've sent you guys a couple of studies this week. Some very significant research.
Yeah, I read them all.
You didn't even click, did
no,
you?
No. I was watching
239 scientists this week that signed off on a report and some research on airborne transmission of coronavirus, of COVID-19. There's also some new research out of Spain this week on antibodies, that 14% of their sample that had been tested for antibodies and had them 2 weeks, a couple of weeks later when they retested, didn't have them anymore. And so they think that if they continue to keep testing them, that number is going to continue to decrease. And that would mean that there is not a way to achieve herd immunity, and that it would be morally and ethically wrong to try and do so. Did that get you excited, Hardy?
No. I was going to read it last night, but instead I watched a little soccer, took a soak at halftime. Once the match was over, I watched Unsolved Mysteries. That was my night.
Oh, man, the new Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
It blows.
What?
Absolutely blows.
The Netflix Unsolved Mysteries?
Okay, the original Unsolved Mysteries, and by the way, this is the same producers, Cosgrove and Muir, right? They're back. They're doing it again.
You're talking about the original Robert Stack original? Is
Robert
that what you're
Stack original Unsolved Mysteries,
okay,
is so far and away better than this new Netflix version. Again, from the same producers and same people. So it's the same people making the shows.
I wasn't aware that it was the same people. It's,
I'm a Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries big fan.
So you're a
big fan.
You're a traditionalist in terms of Unsolved Mysteries.
The new version of this show is putrid.
Okay, can we talk about this then in a moment?
Yes, we can.
All right.
Let's address this coming up next, okay? Right. This has been something I've been meaning to get off my chest here this week. I'm glad I now have an outlet to do it.
I had no idea. Well, you couldn't do it yesterday because you took that random day off.
I could have done it any day this week that I was here.
It never got brought up. We've been talking.
Hasn't been brought up, but I'm ready to bring it up now.
You've done nearly 80% of your job this week, and not once did you bring it up. So let's talk about it next.
Okay, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's your problem, Beetle?
Well, I could tell you this. The big problem with the new Unsolved Mysteries, in which I watched the first episode about the guy who fell through the roof there in Baltimore.
Ray Rivera.
Baltimore.
Baltimore? Where's that?
I could tell you that, number one, I've got a problem with the fact that it's a full hour or so to get through a case.
Let me tell you something. And just to show that I am a reasonable man, I'm a rational person, I'll tell you when I agree with you. And right off the bat, I agree with you. It seems like it, and it even seems like a long hour. It's not 54 minutes that flies by. It's plodding. It takes a while.
Too damn slow.
Too slow. Okay, pacing. The pacing is off.
Pacing?
It doesn't need to be that long. They could have done that. There's no commercials. Obviously, it's Netflix. They could have done that in 30 minutes. I agree with you. Go.
Right.
Go.
Pacing is a massive problem. Number two.
Go.
The things that made the original series great were the cheesy reenactments, which now we look at now and say, oh, God, these are hilariously bad. But they were not hilariously bad. They were actually pretty good. It's what added a real dramatic flair to the program. Were the reenactments. There are no reenactments in the new one.
You appreciate Unsolved Mysteries for the campiness of it, you know, for the entertainment. I'm actually trying to solve a freaking mystery here. You know, if you just want to be entertained with some goofballs reenacting things, that's on you. I look at this as being like I'm on the job here, okay? I'm trying to solve this mystery. The reenactments didn't help me because that's not real evidence.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you remember when the original solved how many cases did they solve on the original show?
In spite of the reenactments, not because it aided the process.
Oh, it absolutely did aid the process. In fact, it gave people the ability to really paint a picture for themselves.
Agree to disagree.
In their mind of how those crimes went down.
Agree to disagree.
The
lack we don't
of a
know
narrator,
that there was a crime in the case of Ray Rivera, Beetle. Go.
The the lack of narration is a problem for me.
Well, Robert,
narration, I think, now they're not. They don't have Robert Stack anymore.
No.
But someone along the lines of Robert Stack made that show creepy as all hell. I mean, that, first of all, the introduction, the music of the original, T-Bone, maybe we could bring that up. The music and theme song of the original was a real haunting music that just really would send the chills up your spine when you're watching that as, you know, in my generation, you were a kid. But the narration also added a real dramatic element to the show that I think is lacking. So the lack of the recreation, and some of those were really horrific, you know, really jarring, some of those scenes in the recreations, the lack of narration, the lack of a haunting soundtrack.
Oh, no, it's the same music.
They're not using this throughout, though, but like, you've
well, they're not going in and out of commercial every 8 minutes.
No kidding. This is a big part of the problem. You could watch an hour show of Unsolved Mysteries on NBC back in the 90s.
Was it an hour or 30 minutes?
On Life, it was one hour show with commercials, so about 48 minutes of content per show. And you would get three or four stories in the 1 hour. And you'd also get a little update. I don't know if you remember Keely Shea Smith in the later seasons, Hardy. You know, you'd go to the update center. They'd be working the phones.
Oh, right.
They'd be looking at the monitors.
That's right.
They'd be talking about all the cases they had solved.
I did like, even in syndication, some of the episodes would
update.
Have the update.
Update.
And you could Robert Stack, you could tell he was like, you know, 5 years after the fact, I'm like, oh, this is even an older sounding Robert Stack in this update. Because they brought him back in to voice it. I did appreciate that part of it. I would invite you to, at the very least, watch episode number two, which is what I watched last night. And the mystery, it's
Hardy, I'd rather go back and watch an episode from 1994 than I would watch another one of these.
I just want you to watch one more. Can you give me one more? I believe the title of the episode is 13 minutes.
I don't think I finished. I couldn't make it through the first one. I was so bored. I was bored to tears.
This one isn't as boring. Let me tell you something. There's a guy I like for this one. I don't know.
And I will say, there were times, Hardy, there were times when the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries would devote an entire episode to one particular case. That did happen in the history of the show.
Well,
notably, a local angle, the Boston Strangler episode of the original Unsolved Mysteries was the full hour. They devoted a full hour to the Boston Strangler case.
Okay. So, and my guess is you didn't like that, though.
No, it wasn't. I didn't love it, but it wasn't bad because, again, local angle, a lot of stuff in terms of why it was that he was killed. I actually, believe it or not, Artie, had an Uber driver once that was a former prison guard at Walpole.
Okay, here we go.
That claimed to know the real reason why the Boston Strangler had been murdered in jail. And he claims that it was over a six-pack of Pepsi.
Come on.
Swear to God. Said he knew him. Said he had the real reason, and that it was over the usage of a fridge that was, I believe, in like a nursing station of some sort that was to be cleaned, you know, in the jail, in Walpole, and that it was over a six-pack of Pepsi that someone else wanted to keep in that fridge, and he said no because I'm going to get in trouble for it.
You know,
like that.
I would say
that's why. That's why Robert DeSalvo was murdered in prison.
I would immediately I wanted to call BS on that because I didn't think they sold Pepsi in six packs in the 60s, but apparently they did sell six pack bottles. You know, they moved to the eight pack of the 16.9-ounce bottles. You know, that's my first memory of buying soda pop, or at least having it in the home. The eight pack of bottles, 500 milliliters, 16.9-ounce bottles. But a quick Google shows that they did
Albert
sell...
Albert DeSalvo. I said Robert. Albert DeSalvo was his name.
Yeah, 16-ounce bottles in a six-pack in the 60s. So I guess there is some credibility to that.
And he said the guys from the Irish mob wanted to keep the six-pack of Pepsis in the fridge, and DeSalvo said, you can't. I'm going to get busted for that. And so for that, he paid the ultimate price.
I want you to watch the second episode is all, okay? And I understand you've got a problem with both length of show and pace of show.
And you want to continue to address these problems? I mean, these problems are very apparent to anyone who's a real fan of the show. Any self-respecting diehard like myself.
It's 2020, you know? You have to kind of change with the times. Just, there's one suspect, I'll call him, in this second unsolved mystery that is more compelling than anything we got in the first one, because the guy that I like in the first one did not cooperate with the program. Well, you watched the first one, wouldn't you love to talk to his buddy, the investment guy?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But again,
the guys who clammed up right away and weren't cooperating with the police.
The guys that were oddly absent from the show and then were silent. You learned that they weren't. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. That's who I want to talk to.
What do you think happened to the guy who fell through the roof? What do you think?
I think he was nuttier than what they're giving us, than what they're telling us.
That was my impression. This guy had folded up notes on the laptop and he ran out the door. This guy was crazy, just like everyone else he was involved in.
I think he was a little crazier than they made him out to be. The second episode, though,
am I supposed to feel bad for him? Am I supposed to feel like he's a real victim of something? I couldn't really tell. Oh, you involve yourself with a bunch of crazy lunatics and you move to a different city on the advice of the crazy lunatics, and you involve yourself in whatever weird scheme they're running, and then you end up, you know, going through a hole in the roof, and I'm supposed to, what, feel bad for you?
I think he made the hole in the roof when he went through it.
Oh, okay.
Well, what did you think? The hole was already there?
Well, how was all the stuff fully intact, like sitting on the roof, the shoes, his glasses weren't broken? Like, what's that?
Weird stuff. Weird stuff happens in a fall.
Very suspicious.
It is suspicious. It's an unsolved mystery.
Whoever killed him, they killed him. Someone killed him.
Sounds like you liked it a little bit. Sounds like you liked it a little bit more than you're letting on. The real mystery is here. The real mystery, Beetle, is why you're so reluctant to admit that you like this show. That's the unsolved mystery.
I couldn't finish the first episode, and I'm just very upset that it's nothing like the original. And it's the same people producing this, the same people putting it together, and all the great elements they produced over the years, they didn't bring any of them back. You could call this show anything. What makes it Unsolved Mysteries?
Because they haven't solved it.
It doesn't at all resemble the original show. So what's the point?
It is much different. It is much different.
Put it on Dateline. You know, this is like what Dateline does.
It's got a Dateline feel, but it's so much. Yeah, I'll watch
Netflix.
Dateline. I'll watch Dateline every once in a while.
Of course you will.
But Dateline is way too much. It's like the recapping of what just happened at the end of the.
Right.
And then they go to commercial.
Another show that you don't need 2 hours for. You can do this in one.
Oh, my God.
Dateline.
Yeah,
do this in 1 hour, not two.
The problem with Dateline is that's something that's best watched on the DVR. But I never watched it. I don't record it. And it's like, we're home on a Friday night or a Saturday night. Dateline, this looks interesting. And you want to see it to the end. But once again, because, I go to sleep at a reasonable hour, I often don't make it to the end because I get bored and frustrated with all the commercial breaks and the rehashing that goes on. Just watch episode 2. Okay. Just do that.
All right. 617-779-0985. You know what? Let's talk about the NBA next and what's going on there with NBA players.
Okay.
Because these guys apparently have some issues with the accommodations in Disney. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay. All right, let's see. How does that hotel bubbles look like? Okay. That's it? Oh, my God. We're going to stay here for 3 months. I better get a good view. Oh, Lord. Not bad. So we're going to stay here for 3 months. That's it? Lord help us. Oh, no.
Ennis Kanter doesn't sound thrilled with his accommodations there, Hardy.
You know what? Calm down, Ennis Kanter. You want to know why? You're Ennis Kanter. Just relax.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm looking at his video of the food, too.
Is Ennis Kanter a starter on this team?
No.
No. Is there an element of lucky to be there for Ennis Kanter? Just a small little bit?
Well, wait a minute. Ennis Kanter has played a lot this year.
Yeah, he's played well up until the point. I'm just saying.
He's a starter sometimes.
Why don't you calm down a little bit? Oh, Lord. Oh, you get to play basketball, okay? It's not great. I understand that. And I'll even go so far as to say a lot of it has to do with the room and the photo. What he saw was not all that bad. Rajon Rondo, the photo he posted, and Rondo, who has a history of complaining and being unreasonable about things, I think Rondo had more of a complaint. If I walked into Rondo's room, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about this. This looks like they haven't done any updates in here in a while. What are we doing? That's what we're doing? But for Ennis Kanter or anyone else, people aren't in the mood for the complaining right now. They're really not. And apparently the food isn't all that bad after all. There were a couple of MRE-type looking things ready when they first showed up. But since then, I've heard much better things about the food down there in the NBA bubble.
So, Hardy, I'm looking at Ennis Kanter's room again.
Yeah.
His room is the same as Rondo's.
The exact same room?
It feels very similar. Maybe the walls are not the same. Am I crazy to say that? Like, these might be very similar rooms.
Rondo's looks bigger.
I'm going to look at Rondo's again.
You know what? The only thing I don't like about Rondo's is that weird Snow White mirror on the wall. I'm not a fan of that.
It is. Hardy, it's the exact same room. Kanter's room and Rondo's room are the exact same room.
That's all lighting and angles then, isn't it?
It's the same room.
They're in the same hotel, aren't they?
The teams are in the same hotel, those two teams. It is. It's the same room. I'm looking at it now. The difference is that Kanter's room only has like a chair that I think is different from Rondo's room.
I tell you something else I don't care for.
But it's the same room. What?
According to the photo of Rondo's room, it looks like you can put stuff under the bed. And in a hotel, I prefer a bed where things can't slide under the bed. That's how
The board. I like that, you know, the boards that go right to the floor on those beds.
Unless you like coming home with an odd number of socks, you better have the board there to stop things from going underneath the bed. Plus, things collect. Are they really clean? How well are they cleaning underneath that bed?
Well, I look at this room and I look at it and say, like, this is a standard Marriott hotel room. It's a standard room. That's what you got.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Maybe not quite. I don't know. I don't stay at enough Marriott's. We need like Bert Breer to weigh in on this.
It's got the desk.
He's a big Marriott guy.
I know that's been a big back and forth, but
is it maybe a step down from a standard Marriott room?
Maybe
a tiny step down.
That are nicer than this. So
I think so.
Yeah, but it's not the Motel 6, as Rondo describes it.
No, I've stayed in a Motel 6 in Amarillo, Texas. Let me tell you something. That is a palace compared to a Motel 6.
So in the post by Rondo, it says Motel 6 Hun at NBA. He @ the NBA in it. And if you look carefully at the Rondo photo, just above the headboard on the bed, he tucks in the middle finger for the NBA, too.
Uh-oh.
So really? He's flipping. Yeah, take a look at the photos. Take a look at his post closely. He puts the middle finger emoji above the headboard on the bed.
Does. That's right. Wow.
Yeah, so he's saying bleep you to the NBA for the room.
And credit to Enes Kanter, who did seem to come around on it with his latest post. Do we have that one, T-Bone? Where you can hear him when he's looking out the view from his window. I mean, the prepared meal doesn't look like anything that you would be salivating over. I mean, it looks like, you know, a tray of better than average airline food.
But Cantor's always been like a fun guy. I think there's some sarcasm in his voice, right? Like, it's going to be okay. He's kind of got that tone in his voice of everything's going to be all right. Rajon Rondo, middle finger emoji.
It's a bit much.
Bit of a different tone.
It is a different tone. I'm telling you, it's that mirror that's setting him off. That mirror would creep me out,
too. Keep Marcus Smart away from that.
I don't like it. I really don't. But do you want to... I mean, I've been in maybe two hotel rooms in my life where I would want to stay there for longer than a week. So chances are none of these are going to... If you walk in and think about spending a month there, you're going to say, yeah, this is going to be great. No, as for the most part, there are very few hotel rooms that are going to make you want to stay there for a month.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to stay in a hotel for a month anywhere?
Yeah,
no matter how nice the room is.
Yeah.
This was inevitable. They were going to get to their, like, what did you expect?
I don't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.